What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
Joy there. We're going home. You are on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike. Good morning. Nice to have your company this morning, and a very good morning and welcome to the studio, regular guest Adrian Munro from Richmond Wellbeing.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
It feels like it's been a little while, doesn't it?
I know. Well, yeah, last time I was calling from Shark Bay on holidays, and before that I was in Busselton for work. So I've been all around the state and then had holidays and a couple of lockdowns in there. So it's been a while. It feels like ages since I've been in. So
how was Shark Bay?
Oh, absolutely loved it. We're already booked in to go again next year.
It was good?
Yeah, 2 weeks. So before we left, we thought we are coming back next year. And things are booking up so quickly.
I know.
That we were like down to the office. And I went to the office and said, can I book in for next year? And said, oh, I'll have to see what's available. And said, look, these are the sites I want to go. Oh, all booked out. And she's like, oh, look, we can still get you in. And I was like, wow, I'm booking 12 months ahead. And it's like a question of, is there a site? And this is a big caravan park. But kids loved it. Did lots of fishing. Yep. Lots of sunshine, four-wheel driving. Absolutely loved it.
And now you're back watching sport 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Adrian.
Yeah, well, look, it's interesting. You know, when a lot of people say, you're watching the Olympics, Adrian. Like, it's really more, am I able to live and function outside the Olympics? Because I'm watching as much Olympics as I can possibly watch. But and my kids are doing as well. I think it's important education for my kids to see Australian athletes. And now with us having the 2032 Brisbane Olympics, my eldest said, Dad, I want to compete for Australia in soccer at the 2032. So
that's so good.
Hopefully there's lots of young kids out there with a goal to compete at the 2032 Brisbane Olympics. I'll be way too old to compete in anything. But
enjoy watching.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll be there, but yeah, exciting.
So good, Adrian. Now, the last term, we had a really good series talking about legacy. Love, that was such a great conversation last term. Yeah. So we're going to kick off today with a brand new series for this term, mental health in the workplace.
Such an important topic. So
we
comes
need weeks
up very
to
often.
Cover this, right?
Yeah, well, we're going to use all term to cover it because there's a lot to break down. So I guess the first question is, why is this important? You know, why does our workplace have to think about mental health? And I think there's still some workplaces that would say, well, people come, they do their work, and we pay them, and they go home.
That's it.
Yep. But if you think about, we can't set. Well, human beings are complex. We can't separate our mental health from our physical health and our workplace and our family. Everything's kind of melded into one. Mm. And if you think about the sheer volume of hours people are spending at work, we know that the environment of someone's workplace can have a profound impact on mental health, positive or negative.
Yeah,
I mean,
right, yeah.
If you're spending 40 hours a week somewhere,
plus,
that's going to have an impact. And so we need to reach the point to think, well, workplaces can be an incredibly important place to either reinforce or challenge the stigma around mental health, but also, you know, we've got a really important responsibility. Employers have a social responsibility to create an environment that fosters good mental health. And also, when their employees are not traveling too well, we need to help people out. So a really important topic, and I think it's going to have a really big impact on people who listen. And really, the way to break it down, well, the way we're going to try and eat this elephant one bite at a time is looking at it in three areas about what you can do as an employee, because there's things you can do to foster your own mental health. You need to take care of yourself and look at self-care. As a colleague, you've got a role to play, but then the employer, the boss, has a really important role to play. So that's a good lens to kind of view this. That's how we'll tackle it.
All right. And multiple layers there, thinking about line manager, and then a whole range of different, depending on how large the organisation is.
Absolutely.
Or have responsibility. We'll take a break. The text lines are open. Love to hear from you this morning. Get in touch. Let us know what your thoughts are around mental health in your workplace. 0429 985 985. Back after. Need to breathe. To breathe there and hang on, you are on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike. Adrian Munro from Richmond Wellbeing is in the studio. We're starting a series today on mental health in the workplace. It's a pretty big issue. Lots to cover, as you mentioned, Adrian, from an employee's perspective, employer, managers, and everywhere in between. Are we still learning a lot in this space, in mental health in the workplace?
So things have changed.
Yeah.
The world has changed. And I just look at the way my kids are growing up compared to the way I did. the world has changed in so many ways. So I guess the old school way of thinking is that employees are commodities that are at the disposal of an organization to drive profit and drive productivity.
You get paid. I give you a job. You should be grateful.
Exactly. Right? You should be thanking me. And we just know that that is just not a good way of viewing people. It's not. And if you look at it from the business lens, if you want to run the most profitable business, it actually makes sense to view people as people that you need to care for. So these days, we know that you will get better results from a business and results from people as individuals if you see them as these are staff who I need to care for, who I need to support, and that's actually how you have less turnover, staff who are engaged, who are happy, and really productive and assisting you as a business. So we need to approach this topic to realize that the world has changed, and the old, and I guess I draw on my own experience for, you know, for the family out there who are where at Richmond Wellbeing at the moment, we've got about probably 350, 360 staff. And I guess this area of having a workplace of promoting good mental health is a key focus of mine and our executive. Now, are we perfect? No. Are we the best in the world? No. We are learning and we're looking to get better, but it's something we earnestly focus on, and I'm trying to get better. And I know absolutely the world has changed. We no longer live in a world where, well, I'm the boss, I make the decisions, I'm the smartest person in the room, and you'll just do as you're told. We need to work with people. And I guess the best thing, the example I come back to is, because I, being a physiotherapist initially, I kind of understand the physical body, and I often use that to relate to the mental. And I remember when I had an employee who said, look, Adrian, I've got diabetes, and I need to, you know, a couple of times a day, I need to test my blood sugar levels. I can't go more than 90 minutes without having something to eat. And, you know, and really easy to work with. It's like, we can do that. And, and I'm sure any employer, if their employee said, look, I've got diabetes and I need to test this, and or if someone said, look, you know, I've got a bit of arthritis in my knee, just need to sit down periodically, any employer would say, oh, that's reasonable.
Absolutely.
But for some reason, when people come and say, look, I live with mental health struggles, sometimes I have some anxiety or depression, and when, you know, I need to manage it this way, there are some employers who are fantastic, who view it, oh, we can deal with this, it's fine. But for some reason, there's still stigma out there that people view this incredibly differently. Now, how is it any different if I need a work break or a couple of changes to test my blood sugar levels or have a nut bar during the morning? How is that any different to someone saying, look, sometimes I have anxiety and this is how I can respond. I just need a bit of flexibility to manage it in the workplace. But for some reason, there's still stigma, and there's some employers who think, oh, well, this is taboo, or this is really different. And some employers think, oh, well, if you have a mental health issue, oh, you're going to be less productive, it's hard to manage in the workplace. And that is, I guess the thing is, that is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Mm-hmm. If you have a view that your employees who have mental distress, anxiety, depression are going to be less reliable, less dependable, poorer performers, you're going to be right pretty much 9 out of 10 times. Because if staff feel that extra burden and that extra pressure and that extra scrutiny and that you have low expectations of them, that is a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I guess if you're an employer listening today, thinking about your own, reflecting on your own experience, you need to be reflecting on yourself and thinking about, you know, what you've done that could be improved. And I guess I'd also say to the family listening today, if you live with mental distress, anxiety, depression, whatever it may be, and you've had some negative experiences in the workplace, you might be sitting there thinking to yourself, well, Adrian, I can't work. I'm not going to be a good employee because, you know, I've got anxiety, depression. What I would say to you is you can overcome this. And if, whilst without knowing your personal circumstances, I'm well across, you know, this kind of area of mental health in the workplace. And I would say that if that's been your experience, a significant part of that might have been your employer and your workplace. And now, maybe it wasn't, but there is certainly hope for people. And that's one of the key messages we're going to get across this term is, just because you have anxiety or depression, whatever it may be, you can absolutely be a fantastic employee. You can absolutely contribute, and you might need a couple of things worked around in the workplace. That's fine. You know, why is it any different to someone who does school drop-off and pick-up and needs flexible hours? So I guess that's the key point for us on the first day, is we need to rethink this topic before we break it down this term.
It's good, Andrew. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got some comments coming through.
Great.
The text line's open, 0429 985 985. Back after Ronan Keating. And Keating, life is a roller coaster. You are on 98.5. Adrian Munro from Richmond Wellbeing is in the studio with me. We've got a good some messages coming through, Adrian. This one is from Anonymous. We won't mention your name. This person says, I work for a big multinational company with great pay and a fantastic roster. I love the job, but unfortunately the company don't care for employees. As an example, it was Diversity Month in June, which the company celebrated minority in the workplace. Men's Health Week fell in the same month and was not mentioned at all by the company. When asked why Men's Health wasn't included, the reply was, we help the minority as they need support the most. The direct line manager, this person is saying, has old school mentality, which we touched on earlier, and believe we get paid well, so we just get on with it.
Mm.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, lots of views there to unpack. So
yeah,
definitely the view that people are paid well, therefore they need to get on with it is not helpful. It's not correct. So,
yeah.
I mean, that employers have a responsibility to care. Like, your employees are people. You know, people yeah. need to be cared for. They need to be heard and understood. So you need to stop looking at staff as a commodity. So definitely there's work to go. So I know some CEOs who are fantastic people, but they're, you know, there's a spectrum. So this is where we need to use events like Mental Health Week and, you know, Suicide Awareness and Prevention Days.
Yes.
Are You Okay Day? These are the days we need to keep pushing, and we need to play the long game around changing the culture and addressing the stigma, because this will take a very long time. But we need to also, I guess, in Australia, work out a way that we can cater for the mental health needs of everyone. So I guess at Richmond Wellbeing, we do a lot of work specifically for called Aboriginal LGBTI communities, because you need to work differently to engage with those groups. And we've got a responsibility to provide a safe service. But mental health is impacting everyone, men, women, children, no matter where you are. And so we need to make sure that everyone's being brought along. And so I guess if we look at the figures for men's suicide, they are grossly overrepresented in that, and we need to do a lot.
Adrian, we've got Shane on the line. Good morning, Shane. Nice to talk to you this morning.
Yeah, good morning. Nice to hear from both of you, and it's a good discussion.
Go ahead, Shane. You got a question for Adrian?
Oh, it wasn't really a question. It was saying, sadly, a lot of that behaviour still occurs in circles where we would not expect it to, like Christian organisations and so forth, who basically treat their employees as slaves and commodities. And one of the worst cases I know of was in a factory situation where they employed ex-prisoners, one of them who actually had AIDS, and none of the other staff were advised about or given any specialist training in handling of people who have AIDS and basically cut themselves badly.
All right, Shane. Thanks for joining in the conversation.
Yeah, look, a couple of points. We know that there is certainly variation about how well this is done. And I guess what I see is that it actually takes more skill as an employer and as a manager to engage it differently.
Yeah.
And to treat people, you know, with care. And because it's a balancing act. Because as a manager, most people are there because they are really good at the technical components of the job. And
true.
Good at managing budgets. But it's a different skill. So I think when I reflect on some of the managers who aren't as good as this, often it is, I guess, some insecurity or vulnerability. It's a new skill, you know, learning how to care for people and, you know, look after people while still balancing that. So, but I guess the take-home message from, you know, all the messages, and it's great to see the messages from the family.
Yeah.
We know there is a way to go. And I guess the challenge I would put out is, as we go through this term, let's remember and recognize that, yes, there is a way to go, but we're only going to make these changes if we're all part of it. So we are going to go through lots of great information and topics this term. And every single person listening who has a job or wants to have a job, you know, anyone involved in the community can make a difference. We all need to work together to make a difference. We need to care for ourselves. We need to be a great colleague and a great boss. But yes, there's work to do, but we can do this and we will change this one bit at a time, but it takes all of us and that's what we're here to do.
Good on you, Adrian. We are out of time once again. Thank you for all of your phone calls and messages are still coming through, so we might have to save a couple of those for next time.
Great.
Let's continue this conversation in a couple of
weeks. Well, it's definitely an important topic that people want to talk about, so this would be great.
Absolutely. My guest in the studio this morning has been the CEO of Richmond Wellbeing, Adrian Munro. Back after this one.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.